Hi, I'm Sean Sutner, news and features writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
And we're the Search Health IT Hit Squad. Welcome back to another episode of the Search Health IT Hit Squad podcast. We have a lot of things to talk about in the world of health IT, but in this session, we're going to try to focus on everyone's favorite, or in many cases, not so favorite topic, ICD-10. Now, it's important to remember that while some people like ICD-10 and others not so much, it is the law, and healthcare providers and payers will have to start using this famous medical coding system, which is already used by most of the rest of the world as of October 1 here in the U.S. So, Kristen, you talked to some health IT experts who see trouble ahead with ICD-10. So what are some of their chief concerns?
Yeah, so basically all the experts I've spoken to about ICD-10 have had pretty negative points of view on it. So in addition to Halamka's comments, which we talked about, I think, in our last podcast.
That's CIO John Halamka of Beth Israel Medical, Deaconess Medical Center here in Boston.
Yeah, so in addition to his sort of negative view, I also spoke with two analysts, and they kind of had varying degrees of doubts with the long-term success of ICD-10. One expert believes that when ICD-10 is implemented, productivity across the board in healthcare organizations is basically going to plummet. And because the productivity in healthcare organizations will plummet, there will also be a loss of revenue. One expert said that this is also going to be due to inaccurate codes being submitted. So basically, if you don't have enough supporting documentation, you're going to be forced into a lower value code, and therefore you will be compensated less. Another expert said that there's a lot of skepticism about ICD-10 right now and the value that it may or may not bring. One example that he provided was the fact that all of the costs are falling on the physician practices, and the government is not going to be helping out with that. So not such a great point of view for ICD-10 right now, at least from them. But Sean, you just reported and wrote a story for our soon-to-be-released Pulse Easing, everybody keep an eye out for that, about ICD-10 success stories, so more positive point of view, I'm guessing. So what did you learn, and who did you talk to?
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, ICD-10 has, there's always been a lot of controversy about ICD-10, and that led to its postponement last year at just about this time. Actually, it was in the spring of 2014 where they postponed it for a year. So it really has been a lot of controversy about it. But, a lot of that has died down. And I think what I found out in my reporting was that the larger hospital systems and the larger physician practices, like 400 physicians, not 2 to 5, who are going to struggle with ICD-10. These are all devoted a lot of training and staff to getting ready for ICD-10. Even a year ago, they said they were ready. I talked to the Springfield Clinic in Springfield, Illinois, Walnut Hill Hospital in Dallas. Their IT staffs have, already double-coded everything. They've done in-person and online training. A lot of their doctors aren't going to be doing the coding themselves. Their coders will be doing it, but the doctors will have to increase documentation, as you said, Kristen. And so that's going to be the big new task for the doctors. Now, these people thought that, ICD-10 is going to turn out to be like Y2K was. I don't know if you remember Y2K.
I was a little young.
Yes, but still, I remember because I was a newspaper reporter assigned to cover Y2K, and I was in a bunker all night and nothing happened. The world didn't fall in. And so these people I talked to think that's the same thing with ICD-10. Now, but these are the bigger people I talked to. To sum it up, they tested all their applications with their vendors to make sure they worked. They sent batches of test codes to payers to make sure they weren't rejected. They did double coding, and importantly, they got the top management of their provider organization, their CEOs, CFOs, to support the ICD-10. So with that sort of backup, the physicians have to sort of get with the program. I also talked with Sue Bowman of AHIMA, which is the American Health Information Management Association, and they're sort of like the ICD-10 organization. They're very pro ICD-10. they catalog information. They believe that it's, you know, ICD-10 is such a huge benefit because of the granularity of detail of health data that it'll provide, that it's worth the time and investment. And that's how these the CIOs of these health organizations I talk to also see it as a big investment that will pay off in the future. Yes, there will be some hiccups, most likely, at the beginning, but including some of the problems your experts found, but that in the long run, it'll pay off in greater quality and more detail of the data, of the health data, and then it'll lead to greater, to better outcomes. I did a Q&A with an ICD-10 expert from Point Click Care, which is, they basically make EHRs for long-term care facilities. And she pointed out that they might have to, many places should add some extra staff if they can during the implementation period. Now, your small physician practices that your experts were referring to probably can't do that. They don't have that staff or money to do it. And like other ICD-10 fans, Sue Bowman of HEMA said that with, you know, 70,000 new codes in ICD-10, but a lot of the specialties in long-term care facilities, you're about to talk about this, I think, Kristen, but they can use families of codes. They don't have to, there's a lot of families of codes they won't have to use, like pediatrics won't have to use a lot of the orthopedic, or certainly won't have to use any geriatrics codes, you know. So that'll help reduce the complexity of it. So,
well, just to your point about, you know, larger healthcare organizations to, you know, more smaller physician practices. Actually, after publishing my piece about, you know, the bleak outlook on ICD-10 that those experts had, I got you know, a flurry of emails from physicians in the U.S. just being like, "I totally agree. I can't believe that this is happening." So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with everyone.
Yeah, we will see, and we'll see. You know, could be trouble for the smaller practices. That's for sure. So wrapping things up in our podcast, Kristen. You know, whether you love it or hate it, there is some help out there from the government. It's the Centers for Medicare, Medicaid and Medicare, or that's CMS. And what is CMS offering?
Right. So CMS has published, well, first of all, they have their Road to 10 website. And they've also published an initial FAQ and then a clarifying FAQ. And there's also an infographic. And basically, their FAQs are hitting some of the large concerns that people have expressed. So the first one, the first point I'd like to talk about is the ombudsman will be in place on October 1st. But thus far, there are no details on how you can submit whatever issues that you might be having with ICD-10. But CMS says that they're going to be publishing that info soon. So keep an eye out on the CMS website for that. There were a lot of questions that CMS was getting about, you know, what exactly is a valid ICD-10 code. So an ICD-10 code is composed of 3 to 7 characters. The codes that have just 3 characters, those are considered the heading category. So from there, they'll be further subdivided. So just keep that in mind. And if you really just want to dig into it, CMS has published a complete list of the valid ICD-10 codes. So you can check that out if you want to clarify. And what a lot of people are worried about is, you know, what happens if I submit an incorrect ICD-10 code? Luckily, CMS says that for 12 months after the implementation date, as long as you submit a valid ICD-10 code from the correct family of codes, so it doesn't have to be the exact code, then you will not be denied and you'll be okay. But that's only for 12 months, so just keep that in mind. But I also talked to other experts about what they think about the resources that CMS has published, and they say that it is definitely not enough. Please do not rely totally on what CMS has published. While it's helpful, you do need to try to do more to prepare so that you don't have any negative results.
Yeah, and it sounds like having the ombudsman in place October 1st, I mean, it would be nice maybe if we knew who it was now and it was ready to go.
Yeah, they were unclear about when they're going to let people know about how to submit, you know, issues to that person. So just keep an eye out.
Hopefully. So I do have one question for you, Kristen. I'm not ICD-10 related. I heard through the grapevine that the HIT squad might be having some kind of a supervised photo session with or without wardrobe assistants or makeup. Is there any truth to that report?
Yeah, well, I kind of went behind your back, Sean, and I've been setting this up. I do not know, actually, if there's going to be some professional, you know, fashion assistants. I'm sort of hoping so for my own sake. I know you're getting a haircut, so, you know, I got to get on my game. But yes, that's going to be happening. So whoever's been listening to us will actually get to see what we look like.
Yeah, we're going to try to get on our game and get at least a photo. And the full-length movie treatment is coming later, probably.
Yeah, no, we're having an actual photographer taking care of us.
That'll be really great. So anyway, thanks for listening to the latest episode of Hit Squad. And tune back into Search Health IT for more podcast episodes on the latest health IT topics.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.